So next Sunday, we're going to begin a devotional series from the book of James, complementing what we're doing in Galatians. I don't mind starting on the first that first Sunday of June and then having a 3-week break because James 1, did I say Jude earlier? Okay, James. James 1, the opening, has been a bump portion for me for a lot of my life. He opens up and he says, "Count it all joy, brethren, not if, but when you encounter various trials." I have not mastered that at all. When the proverbial hits the fan, my insides churn. But then from there on, he begins to deal with, if you have real faith, there's a manifestation of that faith. And so what we're doing right now is we're doing an introduction to that. Last week, we did a devotional on that there is an evaluation coming for all believers. And we looked at, we looked at Matthew 25, where Jesus gives out the talents, the 5, 2, and the 1. And it wasn't best, good, and poor. It was good and well done, my faithful servant. Good and well done, my faithful servant. And then the one who had received the one talent was afraid. And he had a misconception of the Lord and of God. And rather than investing his talent, he hid it. So when the master came back, he says, "Here's what you gave me. Here's your talent back." And he the one who got the 5, he doubled it. The one who got the 2, doubled it. So it wasn't, you know, best and not bad and ooh, bad. It was good and well done, good and well done, and lazy. And it's a challenge to me to continually be on the blocks laboring for the Lord. Because it's easy not to. Hello? No? I was talking with Tim this morning. He doesn't have, Jordan's taken some of the tasks that Tim used to do, but I still send Tim an outline of the devotional for each Sunday. Because he's one of the elders. And I need to have accountability. He needs to know, as Eleanor needs to know, and as Jordan needs to know, that some preparation and prayer has gone into the devotional. That it's not just, we're in one place, and the pastor said, "On the way driving in to church today, I felt the Lord saying to me, ta-da." And sometimes it was more ta without the da. You know, it was just, you felt this wasn't prepared. So it's a challenge for me to not come to the place of being lazy. So we prepare for Sunday. We had to put on hold one of the mentoring sessions we're doing, the way. But that still leaves me with 3 mentoring sessions, and every other week we have the Bible study. So I have to stay at it. Hello? You know? And that's important. And we're going to demonstrate that in a minute when we get to point one and the next. But I when I stand before the Lord, I want to hear, "Good and well done, my faithful servant, not you lazy cuss." You know, And that's easy to have happen. You know, evaluation based on individual motivation. 2 Timothy or 2 Chronicles. Let's try this again. Take a breath, John. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 10. Whether we're in the body and absent from the Lord, or whether we're with the Lord and absent from the body, Paul says, here's the one thing that I do. And that is that whatever I do, that it is to the glory of God. Verse 9 says, so whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Lynn had to go into Regina yesterday, and there weren't very many dishes, but I did them up. You know, there's some in the sink from last night now, but you know, I had done them up earlier. Hello, you like to be honored, don't you? You know, we all need to work together, right? And that happens in a marriage. It happens in congregational life here. Larry, you look after men's. Jordy, you oversee the facilities, and it's not because, you know, that's he cares for you, and he wants this place to be right for you. You know, whether it's the furnaces or lighting or whatever it is. You know, people, and when's the morning? Next morning cafe? She caught the hint. You know? And then there's an evaluation based on what are you building with, John? Are you building with wood, hay, and stubble out of 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Are you working with wood, hay, and stubble? Or are you seeking the face of God? Are you seeking to hear God and getting God's guidance and building with gold, silver, and precious gems? So there's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of accounting coming. And for me as a teaching elder, the Bible says, many of you do not seek to be teachers, knowing that those who teach will receive a double judgment. I will not only be judged for how I'm living Christ out, I'll be judged on what I teach. So it's important. I'd like to reread this morning in preparation for the devotional this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 to 10. I'm still very saddened in my spirit that my friend Dave is gone, but he's with the Lord. I have a peace about that. And so if I'm a little rattled for a little bit here, you understand why. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If you heard me bending over to pick up the mic, you would have heard me groaning. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we're still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we'd be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we're of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And then verse 10, for we all, that's every believer, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is not determining salvation. Only those who have accepted Christ go to the judgment seat of Christ, and we're judged for what we have done in the body in service to him. As Norm said, all but one of the disciples were martyred. And John the Beloved, they tried to boil him, and that didn't work. And at around age 90, he wrote the book of Revelation. Some scholars believe that the Gospel of John was written after that, even. I don't know, Norm, when our work is done. But until then, knowing him and his wife, they want to be faithful until that day. They want to hear, "Good and well done, my faithful servant." Their one aim is to please the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So that puts this as a very high priority in life, that we understand that there is a day of reckoning coming, that we will give account based on the evaluation of Christ of what we have done. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to consider your word. I thank you that we have the promise that the Holy Spirit is with us and will never leave us nor forsake us, and that your Holy Spirit, who is the author of this book, will illuminate these words to us, that there will be personal application for each one. What might be applied personally to my life might be different than what is applied to Wayne's or to Monica's or to any one of us. You will put your finger on our soul and touch us for your glory. So we just ask that our hearts would be open, our mind would be clear, and we'd be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title for the devotional... Oh, I assured you last week, I had some frustration when I finished. I couldn't get the printer to work. And then this week, I sent everything off, and Eleanor responded right away, and Jordan didn't respond. And I was starting to get worried. I thought he must be doing something different. And then I got a message from Jordan saying, "Sorry, John, I'm in class at university right now." And then I realized that I had sent to Jordan your son-in-law's brother. Wrong Jordan. And as soon as I sent it off to the right Jordan, I got responses. So that was great. You know, we all need help. Amen? Yeah. And this particular person, I'm sure I gave him a song and the outline and a video. I hope all three bless him. I hope he reads the outline. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. It is faith alone." Remember the five solaces I had you read the other night. It is by faith alone, by Christ alone. And I want to emphasize that. What we're talking about, when we're talking about rewards here, we're not talking about how a person is saved. No. We're talking about how God entrusts us with the gospel. And he says, I'm going to evaluate how you've handled it. And that's a challenge for each one of us. We're saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. As I understand, that's the faith. God has given to everyone a measure of faith, according to Romans chapter 12. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There will be no boasting in heaven. Now, why am I putting this here? Because there are at least five crowns that God's giving out. What other rewards are there? I don't know. But I know that there's five crowns that are specified in Scripture that are given to believers. But, you know, when I get to glory, Lynn's dad, Brother Gordon Lundgren, missionary in Burkina Faso for 30-some years, he's going to have received some crowns. I know that for a fact, because I knew that man. And I knew his ministry. But I also know this. He won't be boasting. But that doesn't take responsibility away from me to be a good laborer before Christ. What I want to say is, whatever we get, there's not going to be any boasting. There isn't going to be, ha ha, I got 2 crowns, and Jordy's going to come and say, yeah, well, I got 3. There'll be none of that. Amen? Are you tracking with me? Okay. But get this, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Everyone who's accepted Jesus Christ, you belong to him. You're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's something God says, I want you to do, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the basis of the evaluation. That there's an assignment given to each and every one of us. And I had one person say to me, well, you know, I my only assignment is to be a prayer warrior. Whoa. Prayer's communion with God. Prayer changes things. You know? Prayer enables things. You know? We might be the person on the front line doing something, but without your prayers, we're ineffective. It's just wood, hay, and stubble. You know, prayer is one of the most important things we can do. Amen? So never underestimate what your influence can be. Revelation 4, 9 to 11. This is the scene where John enters into the throne room. And he says, and whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, seated on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. If I receive a crown at all, it is not mine to possess, because when I see him, I'll stand in awe of him and I'll cast the crown before him. Okay. My motivation for what I do is not the hope of a reward, but it's the love of God that compels me. Okay. So let's look at these 5 crowns now. Back in the introduction, I stated, the Bible records 5 crowns that will be given to believers. In the Greek language, this is also in your bulletin, there are 2 different words that are translated crown in the English. Diadem, which signifies a royal crown, and Stephanos, referring to a victor's crown or wreath associated with athletic events. There's a difference. And you're going to see as we look at these 5 that all 5 are Stephanos. They're a wreath. They're not a royal crown. Okay? Are we on the same page? Okay. Crown to the victor. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 25. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, Stephanos, but we an imperishable. I'm in the race, but is my vision set on the finish line? I remember Neil Anderson, the founder of Freedom in Christ Ministries, talks about running the race. And he says, you know, a runner's got to keep his eye on the finish line. He says, can you just imagine some runner and his wife is in the audience and she's just a delightful sweetheart, just as all wives are, and she's got an apple pie. She says, hi, hon, this is for you. And he leaves the race for the pie. You don't do that. You run the race. You finish the... You get to the finish line, and then you go to your love, and you have the pie. Yeah. John, are you keeping your eyes on the end goal? Or are you getting distracted? There's a lot of things that can distract. Do I have self-control, or am I allowing the flesh, the world, and the devil to control me? We're going to be looking at this in greater depth in a few weeks in the book of James chapter 3. I'm going to back up to verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but earthly, unscriptural, and demonic, or fleshly. And that's the basis for that statement. Do I have self-control, or am I allowing the flesh, the world, and the devil to control me? Am I developing a spiritual gym time? I love my kids, and Cheryl's the serious one. When she you ask her details of the day, you might as well pour a coffee and sit down. She doesn't have a Reader's Digest version. She gives it to you. Johnny, he's like his dad. How was your day? Good. What'd you do? I worked. How are you feeling about that? Well, I'm tired right now. You know. And then there's Kim. And Kim is more like me. She's the clown. She gives me unique gifts. For Christmas one year, Larry, I should get you one of these, because you do a lot of biking and running and that. She got me this block of wood that you could set in the middle of the floor, and it says, run around the block 5 times a day. That's what I'm talking about. That's my kid. Yeah. Yeah, she had a little piece of paper. She wrote gym on it. She says, you can tape this above the bathroom door, and you can tell mom you went to the gym 5 times today. Lynn says, no, that changing the name doesn't work. You know? Do I have a spiritual gym? Do I develop prayer time? Do I have devotions? Devotions are just for me to get touched by God. That's very different than study time. You know? I was reading Jeremiah this morning, and I said to Lynn, Jeremiah, this particular chapter 20, sounds a lot like the book of Job. He's lamenting. He's being persecuted for the message that he's giving to Israel, and he says, it would've been better if I'd never been born. And I thought, he must have read Job, because that's exactly what Job says too. Am I mentored? And am I mentoring? You know? I remember when I was training with Hope International, the man that was leading me, he says, it's my job to mentor you. It makes you the mentee. And by the time I'm through with you, you'll be demented, which explains this. Okay, I have a short video here that captured my attention, and it summarizes really this whole point about the victor crown, participation. First, but I think she got a victor's crown. She finished. To go from a condition of being paralyzed and working hard. If you think that being a Christian means you can put your feet up in the lazy boy and relax until Jesus comes, you got a wrong perception of what this is all about. We're in a race. We are running for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Run that you finish well. My beginnings weren't great, but I want to finish well. And how I finish is up to me. Norm, you've been at this for a while, and you've probably seen a lot of things, and Lynn and I were talking some years ago. I think we were still in Swift Current. We were talking about the number of people in ministry that we knew that had fallen. Some had been divorced. One left his wife for a man. I want to finish well. How about you? And sometimes I cry. Sometimes I'm saddened by things. Sometimes I'm saddened by my own failures and my own weaknesses. But he never abandons. He always lives and carries through. And my determination, and that has to be, it's only mine. It's got nothing to do with Lynn. It's got nothing to do with my kids. It's mine only. My determination is to get closer to the Lord today than I was yesterday. And I want to finish well. How about you? And it's easy to get distracted, folks. It really is. It's very easy to get distracted. The second crown is the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:17-20 says, But since we are torn away from you, okay, he's been removed. He's being persecuted. And listen, if you haven't been persecuted for your faith, you're not paying attention. When I became a Christian, my best friend at the time, I asked him if he'd be best man at our wedding. And he said, no, he won't enter a church. There will be a separating. Positions that you hold in faith may cause friendships to be estranged. But there's a rejoicing. If I hadn't got... John, I would never have met you. What was that you said to me this morning you came in? We were kibitzing around and... Yes. Yeah. Banana Joe. Yeah. But I'm appealing. I would have missed that. Yeah. You've been hanging around Tim and myself way too long. And Darcy and Lynn said amen. Yeah. We were torn away from you. Brothers, for a short time, I in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly with great desire to see you face to face because we want to come to you, I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown, Stephanus, of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. I don't know about you, but getting up and getting from Granville to Wolseley for fellowship is not burdensome. It's a joy. I look forward to seeing you. I wait during Saturdays to get a message whether Mike's at work or whether he needs a ride. Stop and pick him up. And then get Jordan. Jordan, you're going to have to add a couple of minutes to the time that we get there. We're sitting here at the tracks, but there's a train. And he's, okay, no problem. I'll see you in a few minutes. Do you have a sense of joy of coming to fellowship? Or is it a burden? Is it a task that you do? If it is, then you're caught in a religion. You're not caught in a relationship. Andre, you labor hard to get here because you got a little further to come than me. And you got what? A couple of thousand sheep that you got to attend to first. But you don't come here out of religious duty. You come here out of love for the Lord and for the saints of God. It's our joy. You know? Our crown of rejoicing. Luke 15:7 says, so just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You know? I talked to John, it'd be 3 years ago now. I said, do you have a Bible? I said, I'd like to order you a Bible. You know, I said, you know, I use a Ryrie. You remember your responses? That's a little big. Yeah. Show him the one. He says,
I want something to go in my pocket.
Yeah.
That I can carry with me.
And so I got it. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the fact. That's at Cambridge. And it's twice as much as this one. But that's what he wanted. You know? And I was thrilled to give it to him. And the more I learned of his background and what he's come out of and the pain and the frustration and the difficulties and the religious background, but he's entered into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. You know? You know, Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Confucius is dead. Jesus is alive. You know? I was listening to this guy talking the other day. He says, if you're walking down a highway or down a roadway and you came to a fork in the road, and on the one fork there was a guy laying there dead, and there was another, the other fork, the guy was standing there alive, which one would you take advice from? And I thought, that's it. I'm going to the one who rose from the dead. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He's alive. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, he died for you, but he died for me. In my life, he died for me. And I'm so thrilled that you've come into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone once said that the only thing that we can take into glory are other blood-bought believers. Norm, you were talking. There's a small window. You know, and so many people that get past the age of 14 never come to the realization of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know? I'm one of the exceptions. I came when I was 27. My wife was raised as a missionary kid. She can't tell you that how old she was when she accepted her. I remember we were coming back from Minot, North Dakota, and we got caught in this storm, and we only had Cheryl and Kim at that time, and Kimmy was like about five, and they're in the back seat, and we're going through this valley, and there's lightning, and it's flashing through the car, and Kimmy says something to the effect, is this Jesus coming now? I said, could be, I don't know, might be, I don't know. She said, well, you think, well, I'll be with him? And Lynn says, well, you need to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. So she led Kim, and she had about, what, age five, I guess, in prayer. You finish the prayer, and as only Kimmy can do, she said, well, can we go be with him now? And Lynn says, well, we got to die first. Her response was something to the effect, well, what's stopping us? if it's that simple, it's much, you know. But now she knows why, because now she's in ministry and pastoring in Kelowna with her husband, because there's an assignment for her to do. But, you know, and the Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, except you become like a little child and have faith like a little child. It's a small window, right, Norm? You know? We got to, and those kids that come this year and that accept Christ, you're going to go home filled with joy. They're going to be your crown of rejoicing. The third one is there's a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown, Stephanos, of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Did you get that last portion? To all those who have loved his appearing. He's coming again. How soon? I'm not sure. I look at the signs of the time, and I think it's got to be soon. But I also thought that 25 years ago, which is part of the reason I didn't plan for retirement, which is why I'm still at co-op. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Grace is more than God's attitude. Grace is the Bible word for the power and the ability of God extended to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. How? By an attitude of God? No, through God coming in the flesh, going to the cross and dying for you. That's not an attitude. That's an act of love. He submitted himself to the cross. And then he rose from the dead and he lives in you. That's the power of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith. Now, three is important. Verse three. Remember these three things. Remembering before God, our God and Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And you received the word in much affliction. Whatever resistances I had, When I told my father that I was resigning the Bank of Commerce to free myself up to go to Bible college, he thought I was an idiot. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what he said. You know? With much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. He came around later. In fact, I was able to, weeks before he passed on, I had the joy with my uncle to recommit his life to Christ. So that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God. What's the work of faith? Well, to turn from the world to God. From idols to serve the living and true God. That's the labor of love, to serve God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Match that with verse 3. Remembering before our Lord God and Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things that I got involved in prior to becoming a Christian. But do you understand that when I turned to Christ, I turned my back on a whole mess of stuff. I've gotten myself in trouble when I tried to turn from things. But when I turn to God, I automatically turn from. Does that make sense to you? The key is, don't try to put something out that you think you need to get out. The key is turn to him who wants to dwell fully in you. Josh, I surrender all. Bang on. When you turn to Christ, you're surrendering all, and those things go. It's automatic. But when I'm trying to deal with it myself, it's always a mess, you know? Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. He is our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, the end of the chapter, he says he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the work of Christ. Am I embracing it? Am I pushing that through in my life? Am I more and more in my life, I can honestly say I'm turning to God. Not necessarily from, but in that process, there's stuff that's fallen away. Hello? Okay. The crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown, Stephanus, of glory. The chief shepherd, the guardian of our soul. When a believer demonstrates loving care for others, being salt and light, they're acting as a shepherd for that soul, and Christ Jesus will reward. Philippians chapter 2. And the F here isn't conditional. The F says this is the evidence. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, can people complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. And that's not instruction to be a busybody. That's instruction to be loving and caring. I'm called the pastor here. My primary role is the teaching elder. But every one of you here, I talked to Shelley last week. I says, have you guys got time this week to go for lunch? And she looked at me and says, actually, we have an appointment to go pray with somebody. You are pastoring. You are caring. Ruth, when you prayed for Bob and Carol today, you're getting choked up. There were tears. You were pastoring. When we care for others, you may not have the title of pastor, but you're doing the role of pastor, and Christ knows that. Christ knows that. When a believer demonstrates loving care for others. Larry, you had some funny guy come up to you one time and ask you if you were the pastor at New Life Church. And you were. You directed him here. And until he took that desk over there, he sat over there with you and Joe. That's a pastor's heart. No. Not sure if you should have abandoned your wife in that process. Your wife said, "Preach it, Pastor." I know. My wife has said to me on more than one occasion, she says, "You know, with you as a pastor, you're at the front. I always feel like I'm a single mom. I got the kids alone." You know? That's the pastor's heart. You know? Crown of life. This is the fifth crown. We're doing pretty good. 7 minutes for this. We don't need that long. Revelation 2, 10 to 11 says, "Do not fear about what you are to suffer. Do you know that through most all of church history, believers have been persecuted? It is only in the Western civilization, predominantly Canada and the United States, even in England and Netherlands and various places, there is persecution. But we're in a little corner that we don't pay a whole lot of attention to sometimes. Do you know that more people are dying for their faith in Christ today than any other time in history? There's a cost of being a Christian in most places. And there's a cost here. There, a certain political party is talking about removing charity status from religious organizations. You know? We had one political leader say that the problem with Canada is evangelical Christians. You know? Some of the nonsense that's happening out there in the world is so contrary to the scripture. And if you stand for scripture, you're going to get spoken to. How do you know that? Because I've been spoken to. You know? But if there's ever a time that we in North America as believers need to take a stand, it's now. Amen? He says, so do not fear what you are to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. I had a person a couple, 3 years ago now, say, should you be saying what you just said from the platform because it's recorded and it goes out? I said, the truth of the matter is if I don't say it, and we take a stand. And it was specifically regarding homosexuality and transgenderism. If I don't declare it when there's not an issue in here, if it became an issue, then I'm causing a division. If I declare it ahead of time that the public knows this is our stand, and they still choose to come, we're on safe ground. But if I do it after, then I'm discriminating. Are you tracking? You have to say it ahead of time. Years ago, the organization I'm ordained with, we put in our bylaws that a marriage is between one man and one woman. We hadn't been asked yet, but we could see the trend going. You cannot add it after. But because it's already in, I cannot be forced or required to perform a marriage of homosexuals. But if we had added that after certain laws have been changed, be discrimination. Are you tracking? We need to be upfront and declare who we are and what we believe and why we believe it. You know? And there's no malice or hatred. But you understand the world. I still like the Phillips translation of Romans 12. You know, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual service. And do not let the world, most translations say conform, don't be conformed to the world. He says, don't let the world press you into its mold. And there are things that are happening in society that's seeking to press what we believe into its mold. And if you don't conform, then you're discriminating. But if you declare ahead of time, this is our position, they can't force me to change. Hello? So we declare it. Because there's some things that I say that if someone took an ocean, I could go to jail for. Free board and room. That would take care of the retirement issue. Hebrews 10:37-39:4. Notice there's, now he's going to quote. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. That's you and I. We live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. No, that's fine. That's the sound of new life in new life. It's another generation coming in. I got a microphone and they can turn me up. Or off. I said that before Tim did. And all this reaffirms to me is, John, you have to make the decision to finish well. Don't shrink back. No. I want to receive the crown of life. But I didn't conform to the ways of this world, but I walked with Jesus and paid the price. Amen? Well, with that, we wind it up, and we're going to close with a video song. I said to Josh, you got a closing song. I'd like to do a video one first. And he says, well, listen, why don't we just close with it? And he says, I'll add my closing, and instead of having three, we'll have four during the praise time. Did you count? Did you notice?